contrite of spirit and one who trembles at the word. And Jehovah says, and this is the person to whom I'm going to look at. I'm going to look to this person. I'm looking for a person like this. You see? We hear in a similar language, we have Jesus saying, God is looking for a type of worshiper. Right? He's not looking at the guy who's stoved up and can't express himself. He's not looking at the guy who expresses himself so much he's out of control. He's looking at the guy who says, yes, I've seen the truth, and the truth brings forth emotion and passion for God, but not contradicting the truth. And therefore, those who worship God in spirit and truth, these are those whom He is seeking. For such people, the Father seeks to be His worshipers. Are you that kind of worshiper? Such a worshiper prepares his heart to worship God because he trembles at the word, because he guards his steps as he enters the house of God. He's a person who's coming with sobriety, yet also great expression of love to God. Passion for God. You see, true worship is explained through our evangelism. God is going to get His worshipers because He's going to have worship. He's going to receive worship, and it's going to happen through our encountering people with the gospel, aiming to see true worshipers who bow now and not later. And the result of that will be, guess what? Our evangelism will explain. Our true worship will be explained by our evangelism. All true evangelism is a call to the lost to worship God, a call to adore the God who made them. So he says here, this is the place where some people say where people ought to worship. Well, she tried to sidestep Jesus. Well, some people say this, some people say that. You know, how do we know? He says, I'm telling you the truth right now. Well, I think the Baptists are right, the Presbyterians are right, I think the Methodists are right. I think, you know, that's a smokescreen. This is the issue. Where do you stand with Jesus Christ? Who is He to you? I'm not talking about all that. What have you found out about Jesus Christ personally? Jesus says, still longer on mountains, which God seeks true worshipers. It's in gatherings of those who love Him to offer worship. It's no longer through following the temple requirements. It's now in spirit and truth. It's now through doctrine and devotion. It's now through objective truth and subjective experience. It's now through external religion and internal realities with God. It's now through theology that brings forth piety and closeness to God. Follow me, and I will make you a fisher of men. Follow me. Follow me. Follow Jesus Christ, and you will be fishing. You may not be a reaper or a catcher. You may be a gardener watering. God may call you to a life of sowing, and that's it. That should still please you because you're a fisherman. Because you're glad to be making His name known. You're thankful for the opportunity to speak about your love for Him. And so you're out there fishing. And lastly, verses 25 and 26. True worship is displayed through our evangelism. It's displayed. Notice here, the woman said to Him, I know that Messiah is coming. And remember now, this is a woman who had been married 5 times, now living with another man. And you know, in that context, culturally, if a woman was divorced or twice, she was seen as a prostitute. So now she's a prostitute who's religious. She's a religious prostitute. She knows enough about God. I know the Messiah is coming. See, she knows that. And He was called Christ. When that one comes, He will declare all things to us. I know that. I know. I have cognitive information. I've been in church. I have a Bible. I've written books. I read books. I know about God. I've grew up in the Bible Belt South. I've got it all together. I know about that. Yes. Why are you living with the man? Why are you prostituting your body? You see, your culture was so used to being general with her, they never got specific. You see? And so here's this lady with living with a man after five husbands, and she's comfortable telling anybody that comes by the watering hole, "Hey, I know Messiah's coming, I believe in it." And guess what? No one's going, "But what about your life?" No one's saying anything. They're scared to death to say anything to her. And she goes on in her religious false security into a fiery hell. And Jesus encounters her. Jesus gets specific with her. Jesus shows her. Watch what he says to her now. She says, "Well, yeah, I know all this. I know all this. Yeah, I've been to church. I have a Bible. I've done it. I know all this." Watch what Jesus says to her. "I who speak to you am he." Now you say, "Well, I can't say that to someone. I can't say I'm the Messiah." Right? What you can say? "Yeah, I know you know this, I know you know that, but this is who he is here. This is Jesus Christ. And your life and your knowledge can never achieve salvation. It must be him who saves you from your sins." So true salvation is displayed through our evangelism. Our evangelism does this, you see. Yeah, you know, there are people who are loud. Like one preacher said, they interviewed on national television during September 11th and all the attacks. And Christendom kind of lets people say these things and get away with it. Some of us may have allowed people to say this at our jobs and get away with it. And they asked this guy on national TV, "God wasn't involved with this, was he?" And the preacher said this: "God had nothing to do with these attacks. But we can still use it." Well, that's not what the Bible says. Not what the Bible says. And you know, when people said absolutely nothing at their jobs to all the churchgoers that said the same thing, they heard churchgoers say, "God didn't have anything to do this. My God wouldn't do that." And they had nothing. They said nothing. They didn't speak about it. One verse dispels the whole argument. Amos 3:6. "Can destruction come upon a city? And hath not the Lord done it?" Now, one verse. It's like Martin Luther said, one little word will fell them. One little sentence destroys them. John 17:5. That one passage destroys all the Jehovah Witness teaching. They teach that Jesus was pre-existent. I mean, it was not pre-existent. He didn't live before Bethlehem. He's not God. And Jesus says, "The glory I have with you before the world was." There it is, John 17:5. One little passage destroys Jehovah Witness teaching. One little passage destroys wrong thinking about God. Staying, not in the heavenlies, in the generalities. You see it? We have to move, friends. Listen, as Richard Rogers, the Puritan, said, he was attacked for being so specific in his preaching. Being so precise. They said, he's a precise preacher. And he says, "And for that, we don't like him." And Richard Rogers said this: "I'm a precise preacher because I worship a precise God. And God is very precise in his words." And until we get more specific and precise, people perish. People stay in their false security. And people will not become true worshipers of the living God. And we'll go away saying, "Well, at least I invited him to church." You know what? That ain't good enough. Because God has called us to a definitive commitment to make his name known and to engage men for the eternality of their souls. Well, it means something because Christ died on the cross for sinners. And his death meant something. And he died to produce worshipers of him. And there are some. And we remember his death because it's of absolute significance. May God grant us grace now as we bow now to prepare to receive the Lord's Supper. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you love us and that you've called us to worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, I ask that you would help us now, Lord, to glorify you in our lives and to partake of this supper. and to adore you as we consider your death on our behalf. Lord, I pray that you would cause us, Lord, to revel in the reality of your love for us, in the grace you have for us. And Lord, I pray that we would remember your death now as true worshipers, amazed about your grace. Lord, guide us now and bless us now. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Just a word or two.